Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
TGIF sports fans, hey, welcome into Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester. We are glad to be with you here on a Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. Max Powers producing. He's got the phone line at 869-1240. If you're listening to us on KFH right now, if you're watching us on your video stream, it's easy. You just leave your comments right there. Facebook, YouTube, X, you can do that. All those places. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks to those of you who email us from time to time. Had a great listener email me yesterday, Tommy, with some golf tips on how I can take care of business today out on the course. Tommy and I are heading out to Crestview, where it's always great to go play golf, but we're getting pretty close to perfect weather. It might be a little chillier than we thought. We're going to go play. We're going to go put it on the line today. So thanks to that listener for the tips. It'll be fun. Can't wait for that. You can also listen to us on our app. So if you don't have the Odyssey app, or if you're a listener to the show and you want to hear something, but you're in your car, you can't get out. The Odyssey app, we podcast the show out every day. So no matter where you are, when you're listening, you can listen to the show. You can do that through the Odyssey app. You just search for KFH. You'll find us right there. And you can also leave us your voice messages right there on the app that we can take out over the air. So lots of different ways to interact with the show. We're going to give away some HTO today. Keep you refreshed on a sunny weekend with some delicious iced tea. By the way, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up with some nice coffee this morning. Up late a little bit working last night, Tommy. You sent me a message, by the way. Good morning. How are you? Like, man. Baseball ended in the daytime. Like, I don't know what to do with my night. And I had the same boat, but I came down here to my office and started working. I flipped it on, watched a little NBA playoffs, and I was in for a treat because I got the end of the Knicks Pistons game, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, that was a great into a game, and you know, Jalen Brunson, moving the Knicks forward and getting them to the next round. So yeah, pretty exciting. I didn't know what to do with myself because you know the Royals played day baseball yesterday, and my Braves were off, so my two teams that I follow weren't on TV last night. So I didn't really know how to do it. As well, going back to what you had mentioned before about golf, I'm looking forward to getting out and playing golf with you. However, I must say, you don't look like you're ready for golf today. You look like you're going to go refinish some cabinets. You've got your inner Bob Vila that you're, you know, dressed
Mind
as
games.
Today.
Mind games. Got a lot of stuff to do here before we get out to the course.
Looks like you're about to go host home remodeling show on PBS today. If you're watching our video stream, you'll know what I'm talking about. Jacob's rocking the multicolored flannel. Max calls it your Al Borland look today on the video stream.
I appreciate that because I'm the least handy person on the planet, maybe. Like, I can run a screwdriver pretty good. But, you know, I've got a guy for most of these things. But, yeah, look, I'll be perfectly honest. I was like, oh, I'll go throw on the golf polo for golf later this afternoon with Tommy, talk a little trash. And then I looked and I was like, eh, it's a little chilly outside.
Well,
for
right
that.
Now let it's me, 55 degrees. It's going to get up to go back the 70s flannel. Today. It's going to be nice.
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. But I'm in the chaos of trying to get my kids ready for school and everything else, I was like, nah, flannel it is. It's a little chilly down in the basement. We're going to ride. Don't you worry about it. Maybe I'll show up to our golf game in this. Maybe I'll show up to our golf game without a shirt on. It's all mind games.
I mean, I feel like, you know, we need to, at some point in the show, you're going to tell me, you know, about the charming characteristics of a mid-century modern house. That's, you know, that's the way you're dressed today.
We're of that age. Listen, if we need to go HGTV on it, we can. It's been a while. You know, we've been in the same house for a while. I haven't flipped on the old middle-aged white people programming in a while.
Well, I gotta say, like that, this is an advantage for the folks that are watching us on our video stream. You get some things that you don't normally get if you're just listening to us on the radio. Like, you don't know the way Jacob and I are dressed, and Jacob today is that flannel. It's something. It's a lot of different colors. I'll tell you that much. You
know, it's good that nobody sees before. So here, let's. If you want full honesty on why the flannel is rocking today, right now at this moment. It's because so in the morning, like I'm getting my kids ready for school. My wife opens HTO. You should stop by and say hi in the mornings. So I'm getting the kids ready. Everything's going good. And I get down here and I get everything set up and I look and I'm like, oh, crap, I'm in my white undershirt that I slept in last night. That's probably not going to be a good look. So I ran upstairs with about 2 minutes before the show and grabbed the first thing I could. And it was this flannel. If you want full transparency,
I mean, it kind of looks like a cornucopia threw up all over your body.
I don't know why you're hating on this flannel. I love this shirt.
I'm not hating. I'm just, it's a lot of different, you know, fall color tones. Like, you know, it looked like a nice drive through the forest in the, you know, in New England in
October.
Look
like I'm in Vermont. No,
yeah,
I get it.
That's what it looks like right now.
Yeah, I get it. You don't like flannel. Well, let's just get it out of the way right now, you style boy.
I don't think I own any flannel. I'm not sure I own any shirt that is anywhere near close to that.
Well, that would be a personal problem, and I'm happy to work with you on that problem. You have plenty of golf wear, though, and we can just segue right in off the top. I don't know if 3570 has any flannel. We can work on that. They should.
I know they're getting ready to release some quarter zips, but probably not in that color scheme that you're wearing today, which is probably, you know, for the best. We really appreciate 3570 Golf Company for being a partner of Sports Daily. Today I'm wearing the Kanza golf shirt, which I'll be wearing out on the golf course later today with you in our match today. So that'll be fun. The really cool thing about 3570 Golf Co. is that you can follow along with their entire journey, their entire process in growing this golf apparel brand based right here in Wichita for the heartland, for the Midwest, for this part of the country. If you follow them on social, it's really cool. Dan and Katie Winters, they're the owners of 3570 Golf Company. And, you know, Dan is a golf professional and Katie was a former accountant. And they decided they wanted to launch this golf brand. The really cool thing is that it was out of their home. Like, they launched it out of their house here in Wichita. They've had, you know, some storage units to store their merchandise and things like that. And I follow them on social, and they're moving to a new facility. They're growing enough to where they've outgrown their home and the storage units, and they're moving to a new facility. So really cool to watch their journey and watch this entire golf brand grow. And we love them being a part of the program. You can check out all the apparel that they have, the shirts, the hoodies, the head covers, the hats, 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy today and get 10% off your order.
There you go. Easy as that. And you'll look as good as Tommy looks today.
You look a lot better than you do today. I'll tell you that.
Really bothered by my flannel shirt. And it makes me wonder why I don't wear flannel more
often. It's May. It's the beginning of May. It's not October 15th. Like, we're not getting into the fall harvest right now. Like,
I didn't know I needed a style calendar. It's 55 degrees outside.
You're not going apple picking in New Hampshire this weekend, are you?
Could you put in a document the appropriate seasons for what I should wear?
I don't even know. Like, I know very little about style, but I can tell you that color scheme in May, it's not working for you.
Okay, that's fine. I love this shirt now. I'm going to wear it every day. Take a side out there on the video stream. Is my flannel shirt appropriate for May 2nd when it's 55 degrees outside? You decide. You can leave us your comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. I know Max has my back.
Max is the
Rick
one that
has
called
my
it.
Back. There it is.
Max called it the Al Borland look, so I'm not sure Max has your back on this.
Thanks, Rick. Says flannel's great. Wore one the other day to work. That's what I'm talking
Yikes.
About. Rick.
Hope you didn't get made fun of at work, Rick.
We'll be back. More Sports Daily right after.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back to Fashion Advice with Tommy Caster. I'm Jacob Albrock, just along for the ride. We've got a caller on the line who wants to know if it's okay to wear jeans to church. Tommy?
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm not. I don't have a problem with that.
All right, thanks.
Do we don't actually have a caller on the line about jeans to church, do we?
No.
No. Okay, you were making that up. Okay.
We do not. Look, we've got a poll up. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Look, I'm willing to give you as much help as you need between your Hawaiian shirt obsession, your flannel in May.
We're dangerously close to Hawaiian shirt weather.
I am
you're
here.
Get your fair share.
I am here to serve. I'm here to help. I'm here to assist.
I've added three more to the collection since we've been to Hawaii.
You are one step away from socks with sandals territory. You are just
there. I'm not there. I don't believe in that wholeheartedly. I don't like it. Unless I'm trying to embarrass the kid when I leave on my long dress socks and shorts and a white undershirt and I wear sandals like out to the mailbox while the kids are playing to embarrass them. But no, I'm not socks and sandals, not socks and Crocs, which is the new thing. Don't own a pair of Crocs. Never will. I don't think. Shouldn't say never.
I can see you rocking a pair of Crocs and really enjoying it.
I just can't do it. I've got a poll up. I think I tried to put a poll up during the break there. Is it okay to wear flannel in May 2nd when it's 55 degrees outside? Pretty simple question. Didn't realize this was a big controversy. Right now, three votes are we've got a 100% yes vote going right now. So I think you're going to be in trouble on this one. I don't think most men care what, you know, they're wearing. But,
no, you know, they look like you. I'm all about free will. Like, you're more than welcome to do whatever the hell you want. It doesn't mean that it is good for you to do that. But hey, look, if you want to, I mean, you're going to rock it. You're not going to change it. And you're going to dig your heels in and that's fine. I mean, more power to you. You look like an idiot, but that's okay. I mean, if you want to look like an idiot, then own it.
I do. And all the idiots out there who agree with me that it's perfectly fine in 55 degree weather to wear a flannel shirt, we'll rally, baby.
And honestly, like, let me be clear. It's not really about the flannel specifically. It's the colors, again, look like a fall harvest threw up all over you. That's the thing. We're in, like, it gets me. I feel like you need to have some apple cider, you know, maybe go on a hay rack ride while you're wearing that flannel. And it's just not for me. Like, I'm looking forward to, you know, we're in springtime now. Summer's right around the corner. To me, the color scheme doesn't really work. But hey, look, you do you. You do you, man.
My wife bought me this shirt. I'm going to tell her you said this. You can deal with that. And you know, there it is. All right, let's get into the sports, though. Let's talk Royals first, because they're streaking. 9 of 10, Tommy. They do finally wake up the bats a little bit yesterday. 8 runs scored in the game. I laughed afterward. I was like, I you know, I don't want to complain about 8 hits, but it was, I mean, about 8 runs, but it was 8 runs on 15 hits. Like, they're still, you know, they're not capitalizing on everything, but you'll obviously take 8 runs. And I do think the offense is waking up a little bit because some of the key contributors to it are waking up a little bit. Vinny Pasquantino continues to hit the ball hard. A few of them fell yesterday. Mikel Garcia continues this unbelievable season, really. We've talked about it a little bit. Dude, at 3 for 5 yesterday, 3 stolen bases. Like, he's everywhere right now. Bobby Witt Jr. kind of snapped the home run drought, extends the hitting streak. Would it have been a home run in most parks? Probably not, but you take it when you can get it. And look, it's 8 runs. I think the biggest concern is Salvador Perez, who's absolutely heating up. Had another double yesterday. Had to leave the game with hip soreness. So that's the top storyline we watch out of Thursday's game. To me, it's not the 9 out of 10 wins. It's not that it's what's going on with Salvi there. And is he okay? I think it happened when he was legging out that double. but we need to watch that pretty closely because he's been one of the main reasons they're kind of picking it up a little bit here lately.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, for sure. I mean, I feel like the key contributors really were able to make things happen. I think it, you know, you look at like Bobby Witt's stat line and, you know, he hit a home run early in the game. It was a rocket to right field, opposite field homer for Bobby Witt early in the game. That was great. You know, he finishes 1-for-3, which doesn't look all that impressive, but he added 2 walks. And so, you know, drove in 3 runs. That was huge. I thought Jonathan India at the top of the lineup, yes. I know he was 1-for-4, but he walked twice and got on base multiple times. I thought that was good to see at the top of the lineup. And then even at the bottom of the lineup, Fermin and Drew Waters, like I felt like overall that was probably maybe the most complete offensive game we've seen from the Royals all season long. You know, you got to go back all the way to the very beginning of the season to find a game that rivals this one. But it was good to see from basically top to bottom of the lineup them kind of be able to break out a little bit. I mean, I even feel like offensively the Royals were able to be more effective than they even were in the Rockies series against a really bad Colorado team. And so I think it means more against a team like the Rays, who I know have struggled lately, but, you know, still they're a better team than the Rockies are, no doubt about it. That was good to see, and hopefully they found something that clicks and they can have that carry over now into the Baltimore series.
Yeah, I think it will, and I think it can. Baltimore's really struggling to pitch right now, and the Royals pitching, and I don't want to overlook Seth Lugo, we can get to him in a minute, was great again yesterday. But that's a pretty impressive streak. You brought up Jonathan India. We talked about him a lot yesterday. And it is very pleasing to just sort of see him out there running around, active on, but that's what they need. Like it's got to be more than simply only getting on base, but that's got to be where it starts. And whatever it takes, that sort of mentality. Again, if he just, like, the Royals just hope he does what he kind of always does, right? Like, he just needs to be what he always is, and they'll be very happy with their return on investment because it'll mean a lot for this offense. You go back and you look at last year, Tommy, he was just a .248 hitter, right? He wasn't doing all that much, but he got on base at a high clip, .358. He's done that kind of his whole career, right? He's never been an average guy. He's been kind of league average in OPS. He has a little bit of pop. You know, he's got some pop. We haven't seen that yet, but he's got some. But it'll be, you know, if he can do what he's done getting on base over his career, he's going to score a ton of runs in this offense. And that's what they, you know, it's what they had to have last year. Bobby Witt Jr. didn't want to hit up there. So give Bobby Witt Jr. a chance to drive somebody in. And that's what Jonathan India got enough speed that he can, even if he's on first and Bobby doubles or something. So his is a little more nuanced than just like, man, the dudes can't get any hits. It is strictly, can he get on base? I mean, that is why he's here. And so games like yesterday are perfect for him.
I really felt like he was more patient at the plate yesterday too than really when he's kind of been struggling over the last couple of weeks. You know, not being super patient at the plate, swinging at pitches out of the zone, you know, swinging early in a count, that sort of thing. And I felt like yesterday, and of course, you know, he was able to work 2 walks and get a hit, got on base 3 times. I thought he was much more disciplined and much more patient at the plate. And I know it helps when you've got a lead and when you're able to, you know, kind of extend that out a little bit, then you can sort of sit back and pick your spot. But I thought India was able to do that better than what we've seen lately. I'd like to see that carry on also. I hope that we continue to see this Jonathan India at the top of the lineup where he's patient, let the pitches come to him, work walks when he needs to get on base, to set the table for Bobby Witt Jr., Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez. So I think that helps a lot. And I think it also helps, too, when you look at the bottom of the lineup and Freddie Fermin and Drew Waters are both 2-for-5 in the game. And so they're getting on base in front of Jonathan India in the game when the lineup card turns over again. I think that's obviously beneficial for sure when you've got the bottom part of your lineup that's coming through also. It's wild to me, and I know that you've brought this up a couple different times. It's wild to me that Drew Waters is still batting 9th in this lineup. I would put him higher at this point. But I guess also, I'm sure the thought process had been, okay, if Jonathan India is struggling to get on base in the one hole, then if you can get number 9 on base, then at least that helps also for Bobby Witt Jr. to drive them in.
Well, I think with Drew Waters, that was more desperation until like Vinny Pasquantino gets it figured out, because they just, it's not like long-term. I don't think that's the best, because Drew Waters has been trying to get to this level for long enough that you don't want to mess with it too much. I get that. And yes, if Jonathan India ever, you know, does decide to put a little juice in it, which he can, he's averages like 15 home runs a year. So he's got some pop, but if that ever comes, then he can become a run driver inner too. And that's helpful. If Pasquantino can continue to hit the ball hard and do the things he's doing, yeah, I do kind of like having Waters down in line, because you don't want to mess with it, right? You don't want to mess with it. Now, if Pasquantino doesn't, like if yesterday was an aberration and he continues to struggle like he has, that's where I think a guy like Drew Waters makes some sense there, just because he's always doing something, right? He's always like, it doesn't feel like right now anyway, he's going to come up and just have a really bad at bat. And they've had way too many bad at-bats in key spots this year. Hopefully, Vinny's fine. Hopefully, he's got it figured out. And him hitting the ball hard lately is a good sign of things to come. And they'll be okay. Pitching-wise, another really nice performance. Seth Lugo, they let him pitch through the sixth, where he got in just a little bit of trouble, but he was really good again. Six strong innings. Lynch, who hadn't pitched in a while, needed an inning. He was good. Zerpa was... you know, he had a little traffic out there against kind of where he is. And then Stratton came in, and it was probably Stratton's best performance of the year. But that's your cleanup crew. Stratton is right now. Zerpa's kind of fringy. I know you feel better about him. I still don't quite trust him. Not when you've got Lynch and Urseg and Estevez, and now Schreiber's pitching really well. I've got Zerpa middle relief at best right now, but you know, he had a scoreless inning yesterday.
Yeah, look, I don't think he's locked down. Like he's not pitching at the level that
well,
he did.
I guess question is more, does he factor into high leverage at all? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, the game, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it wasn't overly high leverage when he was in yesterday. I mean, it wasn't
high leverage at all.
Yeah, the Royals had, you know, a pretty solid lead.
No, it wasn't high leverage. I'm saying like when he pitches, I'm still not like if I'm putting him in a pecking order, it's like fifth right now. So right now, like for me, he's not in a high leverage spot. Like he's still useful, right? He's a lefty. He's been there. He's been in a lot of situations. I think he has great value to the team. I think it's not a bad thing for the Royals that all these other guys have stepped up. Honestly, it's probably a good development.
Yeah, and look, I think that, you know, when you've got the luxury of having guys on the back end of that bullpen that have been elite and locked down, and, you know, they're not, you know, giving up a lot of traffic, they're not having issues when they come in for the most part, then yeah, like you're going to see Zerpa's role kind of diminish over time, especially with the terrible start that he had. To his credit, though, and yeah, I don't think I trust him in super high leverage situations yet, but to his credit, he has worked that ERA down. Over the last, probably 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, it was a pretty abysmal start to the season for him. And he started off in a big time hole ERA-wise and whip-wise. And he's been able to work that down over time. There was a moment where Cutrero wasn't using him at all. You know, it was like he was unusable out of that pen. And since that time, you know, I think that Q has shown, hey, he's going to try to go to him and have him work through these issues. And Zerpa has paid that off. He's had, you know, some pretty solid outings, not without traffic, right? Like not without some minor issues here and there. But I like that strategy of, you know, because I'm sure that there's probably some confidence that has to be brought back and built back up and that sort of thing. And so I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that role, you know, that he's in right now, especially when you have the luxury of having those other guys in the bullpen behind you.
I just bring him up because, like, man, and I don't want to overreact to this 9 out of 10, because I do think the Royals are streaky. I've said that 100 times. If they're not, though, like if they're not streaky and they find consistency in their offense, sky's the limit. They're still not really catching a lot of love, like in the metrics and, you know, the odds makers or anything like that. But if you go look right now, like CBS, for instance, has them only projected out to 77 wins still. I don't know, and I'll look at their futures odds and see if they've changed at all since the beginning of the season. I can't remember what I got them at. What did I get them at? I think I got them at 30 to 1. It's really interesting because they're not quite catching the love yet. Yeah, you can get them at 40-1 now, so you can get them a little better, which I would, by the way, if I didn't already have a bet on them, I would jump on that. What is it that you see? Like, if you're analyzing baseball from an app, like, what are you seeing that doesn't make you really like this team? That's what I can't quite figure out. Like, what is it that's not getting people on board with this? They're the hottest team in baseball. Is it just because of that slow start, that bad stretch? Maybe if you look and it's a lack of offense, but again, there's no context there. We know it's a lack of offense, but we don't think that's long standing. It's interesting. 40-1. Their odds have dropped since before the season. That really surprises me when you see the way they've pitched.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's obviously the lack of offense. I mean, they're even after the game yesterday, they're still one of the worst offenses in Major League Baseball. But what you don't, really look at just at surface level is that their pitching is phenomenal. I mean, it's almost flawless, especially from the starting rotation. I think here's one thing that's really interesting for me. When you go back and you look at the way the Royals have played this season, they're two games over 500. We know that they're the hottest team in baseball, all of that. But really the key recipe for success outside of just the pitching specifically is that they're getting out in front early in games. You have to go all the way back to April 13th when they played Cleveland at the very beginning of that long road trip. The Royals won 4-2. Cleveland got out to a 2-0 lead after two innings, and then the Royals were able to come back and win. That's the last time that the Royals won a game when the opponent scored first. That their losses, the opponents have scored first, and they haven't been able to come back. So you have to go back a long way to see. You don't even really want to call that a comeback win because it was only a couple of innings early in the game when Cleveland got out to a lead and then Kansas City tied it and then took the lead. But this team is not built right now or equipped to be able to come from behind. We've talked about that before. So it's been key for them to get out to leads early, to score in early innings. That's what makes the leadoff spot with Jonathan India so important. That's what makes the entire top of the lineup so important for Kansas City. Get runners on, drive them in the first couple innings in the game, and then let your starting pitching do the work for you. Prop them up a little bit, give them a little bit of run support, and they will come through. They will follow through for you. They've done that basically all season long. But as soon as you get into a position where the other team, they get out to a lead, and I know Tampa Bay had I think they scored first, but that was not withstanding, like long withstanding either. I think that that's going to be the key Achilles heel for this team is if they fall behind early to have the offensive firepower to try to come back.
Yeah, Tampa did get out to a 1-0 lead yesterday. It was short-lived. I'm with you, and it allows you – the other thing it lets you do is know that back end of the bullpen is looming, right? Like the way that the Royals pitching is going right now, it's not just the starters. It's just that, okay, you got to get to these starters who are all pitching well. But man, if they got a lead on that back end, even if they can get you through five, it's going to be really tough. And that psychological warfare, it's not there yet for the Royals, but it could be long term if this back end keeps it up. I really do believe that. I think it's a good point too. You get the Royals at 16-1, Tommy, just to win the American League if you don't like seeing the Dodgers out there on the horizon. But no respect yet in the markets for the Royals and what they're doing. If you're going to get in on the Royals, the getting's good now. I don't think it's going to stay that way much longer. Because I think they're going to win a bunch of games. They're certainly going to win more than the 75 or 77 that they're being projected, at least in my opinion. But they play again today in Baltimore. You'll hear it, I believe. Well, we've got Shocker Baseball tonight at 5:45 against East Carolina. So the Royals will be back. Well, look, well, maybe they'll keep it going. Maybe it can be, what would that be, 12 out of 13? No. Yeah, 12 out of 13. Yeah,
they're 9-10 right now.
How about that? We said 11-5. They're not through it yet. They still get to come home as part of that 11-5 for the White Sox series. Let's talk a little NBA here, Tommy. Let's start with the game itself last night. And I didn't stay up late enough to watch the end of the Clippers and the Nuggets. It looked like it was another good game. That's been a fun series. But man, I did watch the end of that Knicks series. And right when the Pistons looked like they were going to take it to seven, they'd built a big lead with, I don't know, three or four minutes to go. The Knicks kind of crawl their way back. And Jalen Brunson, look, they call him the clutch player of the year. That was, I mean, that was as sick a crossover. And once he crossed him over and got, you knew he was going to make it. Like, what can you believe? It, like, that guy has become that guy in the NBA. Like, he's that guy that you just don't feel like is ever going to miss a big shot. And that's just so cool to see from him. The Knicks, I don't know how much of a chance they have to win a title, but he's a great story. And that was an excellent end to a basketball game.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that Jalen Brunson, it was smart for the Knicks to put the ball in his hands when it mattered the most. I mean, like, he had 40 points in the game. He's been putting up points in droves during the course of this series for sure. But I think the fact that when it mattered the most, in the most clutch moment, I mean, he was able to get the ball. I think that was number one, huge. And the number two, be able to have it pay off. And so if I'm Tom Thibodeau, if I'm the Knicks moving forward, I mean, the game plan, is it anything other than just give the ball to Jalen Brunson and let him work?
I mean, late in a game, give it to him and let him work. I don't have a problem with that because he's one of the best in the business at doing it. And it's good. I don't know how sustainable it is over long term. I'm not the right person to answer that. I don't know. I haven't watched enough Knicks basketball this season, which is very little to none before, like this series. But like, I give it a shot. Anyway, he's an excellent player. If you're looking for a player to watch and you're trying to latch on to something, he is outstanding and fun to watch. A couple other storylines that have been big in the NBA. This Giannis Antetokounmpo and Tyrese Halliburton's dad beef. NBA loves its beef, right? They had beef after a game. I think honestly, it's getting blown up a little bit. I think it was accidental beef. I think it was in the moment beef. I think everything's probably fine. The dad was happy, started yelling. Giannis was there. And so it was like, all right, you're entering my atmosphere. You're going to feel it here. And so he kind of yelled at him and he said a cuss word, I guess. And Giannis didn't like it. And Giannis let him know he didn't like it. And it's okay. Like, cooler heads prevailed here. I think it's a potential distraction the Pacers probably just don't want, which is why you'll see Halliburton's dad now not show up to games, I believe, has been what's been decided. Like, he's not going to be it anymore. But big picture, I never thought this was that big a deal, Tommy, because I guess I get it. Like, I get how this could happen in that moment. And it's just like, well, from both sides, like, I get why Giannis would be a little extra sensitive there. And I get why this dude's fired up for his son and his son's team.
You know, I also wonder, like, how much of this with Giannis is the, really not actually directed at Tyrese Halliburton's dad, but more about this situation in general. I mean, is the Giannis era in Milwaukee done? What's the next step for him? Where's he going to go? Will he leave Milwaukee? All of that speculation has already started. And there's a lot of smoke, surrounding that. And so I wonder if, look, Giannis is probably frustrated overall that, the Bucks haven't been able to carry on and they're going to go home. And now all this speculation is going to begin. And it just so happened that, Halliburton's dad got involved in something he probably shouldn't have and became kind of the focal point of Giannis's frustration boiled over. And so I do have to keep that in mind as well. I think that's an important piece of context that, yeah, in the moment, in the heat of the moment, those two guys got into it. That's unfortunate. You never want to see the father of a player get into it with the guy on the other team. Like, that's not cool. That doesn't look good. It doesn't work out well. All of that stuff. But I think there's other context too, where frustrations are probably starting to boil over for Giannis and the Bucks in general. Like, that window, that championship window for Milwaukee is pretty much closed at this point, I think.
Yeah, I he's got his title there. I don't like this. It would be one thing if it was like a inept front office, and they maybe made some coach firings they shouldn't have. But as far as the roster goes, like, they brought in Dame, right? Like, it's not like they're not trying or not doing things that we all can't sort of get on board with, making bad decisions. Like, Dame got hurt. I don't like that we have to have these discussions. Giannis has fulfilled his time there, but he's under a contract. And if Milwaukee decides they want to trade him to rebuild, and maybe I'm being unfair by what I'm about to say, like, that's one thing, but I am sick of players demanding trades when they're not winning, right? Like, again, it's one thing if your team's not trying to win. Like if I was a Mavericks player, I'm not going to be mad at any of them, right, for demanding a trade after what they're the crap they just pulled. But the Bucks are trying, and in the NBA, like I just always am like, could you imagine Kobe losing and then be like, that's it, I need a trade, or Michael Jordan? No, they'd have been like, hell no, like we're going to win here. Like we just like, I don't know. I get tired of that part of the NBA a little bit now, and it's happening in football to some degree too. But if you're a star like Giannis is, and it's not contractual, right? And his is not. The team is trying to win. Like, shouldn't you be the person that's saying, "We'll do whatever it takes to win"? Because I don't like. Kevin Durant ran away from Oklahoma City because he could never get it done there. And that's never left him, by the way. Like LeBron, yeah, he went and played with his buddies, but he has his title in Cleveland. He has all this other stuff. He doesn't have to worry about that. But that never left a dude like KD. Like, yeah, you went and joined a super team that was already winning titles. Good for you, right? Giannis has his in Milwaukee, and he'll never do that. But he's too good a player to be in this I need out category. Like when you're the superstars, you should be more inclined to stay put and win where you're at, because that adds to your legacy. I don't even like that we're having this conversation.
Well, I mean, I think that you have to also figure out and decide, is that championship window fully closed? I think we can all hopefully, I at least would say, maybe we can all agree that the window is at least shrinking. Like it's not where it was last year, the year before, like that sort of thing when they won their championship. But the question becomes, is it fully closed, or is it, as long as you've got Giannis on your roster, it's never fully closed and you can rebuild around him and all of that. And so that's the question the Bucks have to answer for themselves. Do they feel like with Giannis on the roster, if they can continue to try to build around him, that they can get past the first round again and they can go win a championship? If they don't feel like, if they need to start from scratch and start rebuilding it again, then at that point, you know, maybe you do decide that you want to trade him or move on from him. And I don't exactly know what their thought process is. I don't, you know, if their appetite for, they could get a haul in return for him for sure, if they were to move him and shop him around. But they've got to make that decision if they feel like their window is fully closed or if they've got another opportunity with him on the roster.
I think that it can be two different things. If Milwaukee still wants to try to win with him, though, I think you can have an honest conversation. I don't think it has to be the player demanding out, right? They brought in Dame. Like, they're obviously clearly still trying to win. And so then you get into the situation like you have with LeBron and the Lakers, and we'll talk about them probably in the next segment. But, like, you get into that situation where it's like, well, LeBron has all this say over the roster. And I'm like, yeah, he probably does. It's basketball, man. Like, I get it. Like, there's five starters. You're trying to win. I have less of a problem with LeBron and the front office relationship being tight and him, like, helping build a roster than I do if he didn't like what happened this year. And he'd be like, you know what? I'm out. Right. And he's a bad example because he's been playing for 22 years. But I think you know what I mean. Like, I have less of a problem with players being involved in the conversations about what players to bring in than I do just saying, nope, not going to happen here. I got to leave now. Like, I want out. I'm out. I mean, and it's not that way for every player. There are only a handful that this, you know, that I think fit into this. And Giannis is one of them, though. And if I'm Giannis, I want to win as much as I can in Milwaukee right now. Like, if it's free agency, if it's something else, that's a different story. But I want to win as much in Milwaukee as I can right now because it adds to the legacy. A part of Kobe and Jordan's legacy, Tommy, is they did it where they were, right? They didn't, they went out and like they were the centerpiece and people came to them and all of that stuff. I think it adds to their legacy. Yes, Shaq came in to help Kobe, but he also got one with Powell. Yes, Michael Jordan's second three were boosted by an all-time great roster, but his first three weren't, right? So, you know, those things add and take away from a legacy. Kevin Durant never got one in Oklahoma City, and Giannis has his in Milwaukee, so it's a little bit different. I just don't want to see star players leave these great fan bases and great organizations like that. Like, stick around. wait it out, at least wait out your contract.
Yeah, I think that, of good, again, like the offseason for the NBA is always filled with drama. It's a soap opera. That's the way that it always is. And whether you're talking about what the Bucks and Giannis are going to do, whether you're talking about, you know, is J.J. Redick in over his head as the coach of the Lakers and what's going to happen long term with LeBron and, you know, all of that. Like, there are so many storylines as we're going to be entering into the offseason once the playoffs and the finals are done. I mean, it's starting now with the teams that have already been eliminated and what's going to happen with them. It's part of what makes the NBA so intriguing is that it's filled with so much drama all the time.
Yeah, it's less intriguing to me. I mean, it's fine. I don't get into all that stuff. Maybe that's why I've slowly over time sort of migrated away from the NBA. I think about this a lot. Like, why has that happened? I used to be such an NBA fan. I think there's a lot of reasons for it. I think this is probably one of them. You know, players are this thing. And I know that makes me sound like old man on a rocking chair, but like play for your team, play every night. Like all of that, you know, the load, man, it all kind of is just like, meh. Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't do it. And the other thing, like, games are long. Like, I'm in and out of a college basketball game in 2 hours, man. Like, I'm in, I'm out, I'm good. I think there's a lot of reasons. I would be far more interested to watch Giannis try and will one out with the Bucks than if he went and joined the Lakers with Luka and LeBron. I'm like, you know what? Like, come on. I don't know. The Lakers don't have anything to trade. Lakers have their own issues, maybe. The coach is a lightning rod a little bit. Some of the things he said, we'll come back. We'll talk about this. J.J. Redick's kind of agreeing with the Mavericks, I think, here a little bit, which is interesting. It's an interesting development, the whole Luka Laker drama. We'll have that. We'll have Jalen Thompson next hour. Take us inside the Royals' rise as we get into the second month of the season. That's all coming for you. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
And welcome back in, everybody. Another hour of Sports Daily here. We are rocking and rolling on this Friday, getting you ready for the weekend, getting ready for a big golf showdown with Tommy here a little bit later. I need some strokes. We'll have to figure that out. I have to figure out how this is going to work. I did have a great listener yesterday that was like, he was like, man, I love the show. I was listening. You know, I have, you know, one thing I could tell you about an easy way to just really improve your game. And I'm like, all right. It was like, you could go get some lessons. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. And it was very sincere. It's from the heart and I appreciate it, It is true. Like that's about all that's going to help.
I mean, you've done that though, haven't you? Haven't you gone, done some lessons before?
No, I shout out to Crestview Country Club. One of the cool things that I don't think we've ever talked about this. Maybe we have. When I got my new irons, I called up there and the, you know, Trent, who's the head of golf instruction up there, helped me fit some irons in that with the swing, you know, the TrackMans, the big fancy simulators and stuff. We went through that a little bit and I did go to some like clinics. So then I get those irons and then he put on like a Saturday morning clinic thing. This would have been in the winter, I guess. And unfortunately, like kids' sports calendars and everything overtook it, and I couldn't keep going. But I went two or three times, go through some real basic stuff. And there were some really good golfers in there too. And then there were some beginner level golfers, and then the guys like me who are just like whatever we've been playing our whole life, but probably the wrong way. So yeah, I took a few things out of that. I think, you know, for me, it's funny. Like we talk a lot about golf, and I love golf. I love to play golf. Today, when we play, will be the first 18 hole round that I've played all year. You know, I play like six holes at a time as much as I can, or I hit the range. I really do need consistency. And then to the great listener's point who emailed us, like, I want to get my kids a lesson before I get a lesson. You know, I want them to like start from a good place. Like I grew up on like a par three, go out and you know, whatever, just rip it and, you know, be idiots for a while. That's how I learned how to play golf. Like, it's not from any place of goodness, like, to actually be a good golfer.
One of the fun things about Crestview is that they do a lot of, like, really cool golf events throughout the year. So, and like, some of them are casual, some of them are more competitive. I know they do like a Thursday night men's league where they do different formats throughout the year. You go out and play nine holes after work on a Thursday and, you know, different formats. And then they end up like tracking like player of the year. You get points the more you go and do it and how you play each week. And like, that's kind of cool. They also do a deal where you can pair up with another golfer and then you go and you play matches against other pairs on the course. And a buddy of mine and I, we've been partners for a lot of years. We had our match last week. We went out and played a match against two other guys at the club and got our butts handed to us. Like, it was so bad. And we didn't play that poorly. We played okay. They were making every putt they looked at, like 30-foot putts. I mean, it was like ridiculous to the point to where we looked at each other and we're like, what are we supposed to do? There's literally nothing. It was like Rory McIlroy at the Masters. Like, nothing we can do. He's just going to be clutch and beat us. And that, like, those guys beat us bad.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. They do. It's not just golf either. That's what my wife basically does with tennis. She's in the USTA or something, and then she'll go play competitive matches. Like, it's really cool. Give Crestview a call. There's a I go up there, and sometimes we'll try to have lunch, like Friday, if we both are done and the kids are. And there's a group that's always there. They've always just come off. They're always in for happy hour having a bit. And I'm so envious of that. I'm like, man, that would be so cool. Like, just to have that. Like, that's the thing that you do. But anyway, give Crestview a call. Tommy and I will be out there today. If you see us out on the course, say hi. Got to figure out how to even it up a little bit. Maybe it's as simple as strokes. I'm a much, much worse golfer with a much worse handicap than Tommy.
I'll give you a stroke a hole. You'll get 18 strokes.
And that might be too much. I don't know. I don't know until we do it again. This will be the first 18 I've played all year. Full 18. I'm really looking forward to it. Update on the poll. We're at 50-50, Tommy.
All right.
We're at 50-50 on whether it's acceptable to wear a flannel shirt on May 2nd. I contend that it's 55 degrees outside, and I'll wear a flannel anytime I want. We got a really funny meme that I haven't seen before. Chris sent this to us on Twitter. It's a picture of a dude in skinny jeans and a flannel and a suspenders. And the text says, I'm so glad that I don't have to actually hunt. I have no clue where gluten-free tacos live. It's a really good meme. I'm not even offended. Well, I don't offend easily. You can say whatever you want about me. I don't really care, but it's funny. That's a really funny one. I don't know how many people are hunting in flannel. I don't think many. To all our hunters out there, that wouldn't be probably the right attire to go hunting, but
I mean, you're a full beard away from being a member of Mumford and Sons. Like, that's the way you're dressed and the way you look today. You just need that beard, and you would be Mumford and Sons ish.
I am going to learn the banjo before I die. So I don't know if I can grow a good beard, but I'm going to learn the banjo.
If you could grow a full beard, would you do it? I know TV makes it more difficult, but like, all things being equal, you wouldn't do that?
Everybody in my family, immediate family, hates beards. No offense to beard people. Like, if I go a day without shaving and I've just got some scruff, my kids are like, what is that? My oldest daughter is terrified that I will have gray hair in my beard. There you go. Thank you, Max. For whatever reason, like, she's so worried that I'm going to have gray hair. And I'm like, sweetie, I'm going to have gray hair. Like, you should be worried that I don't have hair with this melon. Like, you don't, that's the, she's like, no, I don't want gray hair. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm going to have gray hair.
I can see you in 10, 15, 20 years pulling a George Clooney. Did you see him and the bad dye job that he had recently in an interview? Oh, like, it was like jet black. And like, the whole world is like,
I won't go that way. I
Clooney, like, let it go. And that, like, everybody knows, like, he's been like salt and pepper for a long time and, you know, has gone gray and all of that. And I think that's why, like, I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably why ladies have loved him forever. And he went like jet black. I think he was on 60 Minutes or something. And it was bad.
No, I'll never go that kind of paint. If anything, I don't know if you can see this.
I don't think so.
I'll put this on the video stream. So this is my grandpa. I mean, that's me. That's what I'm going to be going for. The Bob Barker, just like white, let's go. And that's what I told, I said, you know, but what about when it gets white? And she's like, oh no, white's okay. And I'm like, oh, well then we're probably going to be good. Like my mom, my grandpa, like white hair, pretty young too. Like that, if it's, she's just afraid of the gray. So either way, she's afraid a lot will come in my beard. I'll tell you, like if I wasn't on TV, I would be more inclined to see what it would be like to have long hair than a beard. Like a beard can be, I don't know how you do it. Like beard, if I go like a week and kind of get to the point where like it just itches and it annoys me. I would be more inclined to go long hair. Like what would it look like if I had long hair? That would be the first experiment, I think.
Yeah,
oh, Walter Goggins right there. Yeah, that's money.
You're one step away from Walton Goggins on Righteous Gemstones. I know you don't watch. I don't think you have HBO Max.
I haven't.
But his character in Righteous Gemstones, that if you could go white hair and longer with those glasses,
the white pompadour,
totally, you would
be
on board.
The white pompadour.
Yep.
Yes. I would absolutely and may rock a white pompadour. I don't know how to do the pompadour. I think it involves like a blow dryer, which I've never really used, but yes, that could very much be me. 10 years. I don't know when it's going to happen. Like, I feel like the gray's coming for me. It's there right now. Like, it's on the sides. Like, my wife and kids point it out every time they see it glistening in the sun. They're like, well, what's that? What's that on the side there? And I'm like, this is so funny.
I'm getting it more like in my beard, like in my stubble.
Oh, it's all
it's
over
pretty,
my beard.
It's pretty gray, right?
No,
right
I have now. A tri-colored beard, which is another problem. Like, all the colors are in there, including my genetic red hair, which three of my brothers are like straight gingers. And so it comes in my beard. But what I've noticed is all of that hair that used to be red in my beard is now that's the hair that's gray.
I mean, circling back around, I mean, the tricolor beard, I feel like if you grew a beard, it would look pretty similar to the color of the shirt that you're wearing today.
Yeah, that's a very good example. Yes. So we appreciate the ridicule there from Chris. I think that's a really funny meme, even though I don't think people hunting flannel, you know, just to throw that back at you. But gluten-free tacos, that's good stuff. Where is the vote here? Let's just see. Yeah, we're still 50-50. Still 50-50 out there. The question that you can vote on my Twitter page, is it okay to wear flannel in May? On May 2nd. It's 55 degrees outside. I'm not wearing this outside. I'm wearing it in my basement.
The context is really important, and I clarified it on your poll. Like, it's not about the flannel. It's about the color of the flannel. That's my point.
Here's Tommy, I think I've worn this shirt once a week for the last 6 months. Like, I that's the thing. Like, I have a rotation of shirts, and this is one of them. I wear this shirt all the time.
That shirt just goes perfect. Like, if you grew a mustache, like, I think of Bob Vila.
I grow a mustache.
I think of Bob Vila when I look at that shirt.
I wish I could grow a mustache. Maybe more than any, we're talking about hair, maybe more than anything, I wish I could grow a mustache. It doesn't show up. Like, it's just not there for me. All right. When we come back later this hour, we got Jalen Thompson in, our Royals insider beat reporter for the KC Star. He's going to join us. We'll talk about this Royals streak. I do want to talk about what JJ Redick had to say about the Lakers. He's kind of agreeing with the Mavericks here. I'll tell you what that is. If you missed it, we'll get into it when we return. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. It is, it's Friday. Who's ready for the weekend, right? We're going to have beautiful weather this weekend. Take advantage. You know, we love the rain. We'll take the rain any way we can get it, but it is going to be nice to see a little sunshine on a weekend. I don't know if we were 0-for on that. I think we had one weekend in April where we actually got some sunshine and things. So that'll be good. That'll be nice. And we appreciate the rain. Hopefully we can fill up Cheney Lake and we're at least doing damage to this drought in all of these things. Real quick mention here, ICT Open Streets or Open Streets ICT, the Nomar edition is this weekend. It'll be Sunday from 12 to 4. So this will happen on 21st Street. It'll be from Nomar Market at Broadway out to Woodland Park. It's free. It's open to all ages. It's the North End. We know the North End culture up there is way cool and fun. It'll be a family-friendly celebration for the community up there. One afternoon. They've got a mile closed there, and it'll be a public space. You can walk and dance and bike and play, all that kind of stuff. There's live music. There's group fitness. There's street art, of course, food trucks. So get up there and check it out this weekend. That'll be a fun event. Again, it's Sunday from 12 to 4, and it's the Open Streets ICT up in Nomar this time. So get out there and check that out. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. Look, this Lakers stuff is getting interesting. Lakers are always, well, let's admit it, love it or hate it, they're always interesting. We mentioned yesterday, Ball's in LeBron's court. I think we can just, whatever happens with LeBron will happen. I think the more interesting thing is now in the aftermath of this trade, like it was pretty clear in that series they needed a big, they traded their big away to go get Luka Doncic. And that's fine. And like, if I'm a Lakers fan, I'm totally willing to accept that. And if that's what it costs you to get Luka, like whatever. But then you hear stuff like JJ Redick saying, I'll start with the offseason work that's required to be in championship shape. The Mavs said they traded Luka because of conditioning. I mean, you can read between the lines and look, Luka's got a dad bod. Okay. That's fine. So does Jokic. So do a lot of these guys. He's got dad bod. We got dad bods. It's okay. I'm not an NBA player. I will say that. But I don't, that's an interesting approach from the Lakers organization because you're almost conceding that the Mavs were right about that. I don't know that Luka's going to ever be looking like Giannis Antetokounmpo out there. Like Luka's Luka. And I think that's kind of what you work with there. I think he's one of the best players in the world. I think they can absolutely win championships with him. I think the Mavericks are total idiots for trading him for what they traded him for. All of those things. But yeah, he's a little chubby and like that's part of who he is.
By the way, I think it's unfair. It's totally unfair to Luka to lump you and I and our dad bods in with him. I groan standing up from a chair. I'm not an NBA player for sure.
Well, he's also like 24, 25 right. years old.
The one thing that I want to point out too is you say the Lakers organization conceding a little bit to the Mavs. I don't think it's the Lakers organization. I think it's JJ Redick. I think that's different. That's a separate thing entirely. Like, I'm not sure that sentiment is probably going to be openly shared by Rob Pelinka, you know, by the front office, by everybody else. I think it's JJ Redick as the coach kind of going rogue a little bit. Because if I'm the Lakers organization as a whole, I'm not going to concede a single thing about that trade back to the Mavericks. I'm going to go to my grave thinking or at least believing and saying to the public out loud that we made the best decision and we win this trade bar none, hands down, right? Like I'm not going to concede a single inch by even suggesting or insinuating at all that the Mavs were right about the conditioning from Luka. So I don't think this is, at least in my opinion, an orchestrated organizational call out for Luka. I think it's JJ Redick probably going rogue.
Here's what I would ask the Lakers fans, you, anybody. Would Anthony Davis being on that team and not Luka, would they have won a title this year?
No.
So that's where like the buck stops there when you're talking about that trade. Like, no, it didn't work out this year. I when that trade happened, to me it was like, huh, I wonder how that'll work out with LeBron this year. Like I never was like, oh, the Lakers are about to win a title now. No. It was always about like, I wonder if that can work with Luka and LeBron. They're really similar players. But that's it. Like they weren't going to win it anyway. This trade was about what happens, you know, 10 years from now or in the next 10 years, we'll put it. Like didn't have anything to do with that. This team wasn't going to win a title anyway. I just think it's interesting to go on the attack if you're Redick at that thing, which is how the Mavericks have tried to justify the trade in the first place, right? They need players that buy into playing a certain way or whatever it is, whatever nonsense they came up with. Like they basically, that thing is how they're trying to justify trading away one of the best players in the world who happens to be very young and transcendent for nothing, by the way. And so that's where it's like, you really want to go down that road publicly? JJ Redick, like you want to challenge his conditioning? The Mavs just did that. Like you didn't need to do that. It's either going to change or it won't. And I got to tell you, if you're going to be successful in the NBA, you got to figure out a way to win a title with Luka Doncic, no matter what kind of shape he's in. He plays the entire game. He scores a ton of points. Is he a defensive liability? Yeah, he is right now. Okay. You know, there have been non-great defensive stars who have led their team to titles in this league. And you know, just it's ironic, but Dirk Nowitzki's won. I don't think Jokic is an all-world defender. I'm willing to be wrong about that. Our NBA lifers and junkies can correct me on that, but I don't think he is. Like, you know, figure out a way to win with him. Bring in a bunch of other defensive dogs and let Luka be the star that he is for being the star that he is. Like, you're going to really try and change what Luka is?
Well, and don't you think, too, a little bit that, you know, JJ Redick is, you know, maybe trying to cast the blame away from
yes.
him and his coaching? You know, and because 100%. Like that, that's a huge reason why the Lakers didn't win that series and why they got bounced, because of just the adjustments and the coaching decisions that J.J. Redick made. And, you know, there were multiple times in that series that I thought he might be in a little bit over his head. Like, he's not maybe quite ready for prime time, you know, in this kind of scenario as the head coach of the Lakers, and even like post game situations where he's getting combative with reporters asking questions and things like that. And the entire time, like, there's not been a single moment where I thought, can the Lakers win a championship with Luka? It's been, can the Lakers win a championship with JJ Redick? That's been the biggest question, you know, because like Darvin Ham was there and he's, you know, had kind of more of a pedigree or a resume than JJ Redick as a head coach. Frank Vogel won a championship as the coach of the Lakers recently, and he's had more of a pedigree, you know, than JJ Redick has. And that was a huge, huge storyline, huge talking point when Redick got the job, was that the dude doesn't have any NBA coaching experience. He was a podcaster and an analyst, and he was buddies with LeBron. And so I think that now they've got a bunch of talent, but I think it points directly back to some of the coaching decisions that JJ Redick made in this series that cost the Lakers a chance to move on. I don't think it's about whether or not the team is championship tough or they need their better conditioning or they need to work harder in the offseason. I think it goes back a lot to just flat out coaching decisions that JJ Redick made.
I'm going to give him a bit. I don't have a problem with the fact that he didn't have the NBA coaching experience. I think there we've seen enough now in the NBA to know that that can work. But I do think the leash has probably got to be pretty short. If JJ Redick is there and that appeases LeBron, okay. I think they need an offseason to better build around now a team that focuses on Luka and LeBron, and they need to bring in some size. Which Rob Pelinka said they wouldn't. Of course they would. They traded one of the best centers. I mean, the Mavericks didn't get – I say they didn't get – I always say they didn't get anything. They got Anthony Davis, who's great. But in the context of that trade on the Mavs side, that didn't matter. It doesn't make any sense. The Lakers did lose Anthony Davis, though. Like, that, you know, the thing that they needed so desperately, they traded away to get Luka. Like, it's predictable. Now they need an offseason to go and, you know, get some players that can make up for the deficiencies you might have to deal with by having a player like Luka. And so go do it this offseason. But if it doesn't work next year, and now LeBron's probably at the end or whatever, then yeah, Redick's going to have to go. And if there's already this sort of tension between he and Luka, and maybe Luka responds to that, I doubt it. I doubt Luka cares what JJ Redick thinks of his conditioning. Everybody his entire life has probably been concerned.
Yeah, I don't think he really cared what Jason Kidd thought about his conditioning.
Exactly. Or Nico Harrison, right, or anybody. And like, and again, like, he's focused on other things. He's one of the best players in the world. I think at some point you can overthink the situation. Luka's one of the best players in the world. Whatever he does to put himself in that position is working, right? So leave that alone. Try to now take that skill set, and there's nothing wrong with trying to get more out of Luka. So don't misunderstand. Like, I don't have any issue with challenging Luka to be better, but that particular thing and the timing of that and everything was a little strange to me, and probably not very productive. Look, the NBA's got to be, we call baseball managers managers. I'm not sure it's ever more than it is in the NBA, in the current NBA and all of sports. Like, you got to deal with that more than anywhere else. Football, maybe with quarterbacks, but in football, you can work around a diva. You can't really work around a star diva in the NBA. You got to have them, right? So to mess with them like that about that thing, which you know he's going to be sensitive about because of the way things ended, and not that he's sensitive about, you know, being pudgy or whatever. It's being sensitive about that being the reason that his life was turned upside down. That kind of seems like a jerk move, which JJ Redick was known for as a player and all these things. It's just kind of being a jerk, right? Like, you just kind of being a jerk there. Like, that's not productive. And if you're not being productive, what are you doing?
Well, and because, you know, look, he didn't name anybody by name. But I mean, like, we all know who he's talking about, right?
About
like
LeBron's conditioning.
Yeah, who else on that team are we, you know, do we look at and be like, oh, he's a little chubby. You know, he's a lot of shape. And who, there's nobody else on that roster, at least that I know of, that has gotten consistent criticism or there have been questions about his conditioning over the course of his career other than Luka. So when he says conditioning, off-season, like all of that stuff, without saying Luka, you know he's saying Luka. And like, honestly, I might even have a little bit more respect for Redick if he had called out Luka by name. Like that's who you're talking about. Like, if you're going to be open about it, like, just, like, call a spade and say, I feel like Luka needs to be more conditioned. Whether or not he's right or wrong, own that and call the guy out by name as opposed to being, like, vague about it. And we all know who you're talking about.
But just, like, it's not, like, just come out and say, we're going to work this offseason to make Luka the best defender he can be. Right. Like we're going to really work to improve his defense. We think there's more there and we're going to try and get it this offseason. Like there are 1,000 ways you can say what he's saying without being a jerk. And why do you have to be a jerk? You ever had a real jerk manager, Tommy? And you just sit there and you're like, man, why are you such an ass? Like you don't have to be. Like what good is that doing anybody? And you watch it from afar, whether it's to you or whether it's to somebody else, or you're like, what, like, why, like, why are we doing this? This isn't necessary. And that's what it feels like. Like he feels like your jerk boss. It's a little bit of a bully, just like picking on people around the office. And you're like, oh, whatever, dude, like you do you. I don't know. I like if you want to improve Luka's defense, go for it. Be a coach. Improve his defense. Going out to the public airwaves a couple days after a loss and twisting that particular knife for a dude that literally had his life turned upside down in this surprise. Like what? That's just not like, it's not
productive. Well, and on top of that too, I mean, you know, knowing how insecure and, you know, just out of touch Nico Harrison has been, and he's a non-factor in everything. Right. But like, I guarantee you, he latches on to that, like a little bit of validation, you know, like, sure. Hey, we were right. We made the right decision. See, the Lakers are experiencing the same thing we did. And it's like, dude, like that doesn't mean that the decision was still any good. But I guarantee you, knowing the way Nico Harrison has reacted ever since this trade happened, you better believe that he's grabbing any kind of shred of relevancy that he can, even internally, to be like, man, look, we made the right decision. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about.
And again, if you're like the Lakers weren't winning a title with Anthony Davis this year either. And I hate that Anthony Davis gets caught up in this too. That dude's awesome. And he also got caught up in just a chaos of all of this. But the Lakers lacked him, basically. That's what they needed. And they'll probably go find it in the offseason. If there's one thing that there won't be lacking, it's like the old school center because they're less value. But that would be very valuable for the Lakers in the offseason. Ask it. Do you think this is a pretty simple question and it's got two parts. Do you think Luka wins a championship in LA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he does.
I think definitely.
I don't think he wins one with the current. No, I don't think JJ Redick
wins a championship.
I don't think JJ Redick wins a championship. I think JJ Redick is the coach until LeBron is done. And then I think they'll go get another coach.
Yeah, it'll be next year. And maybe they can do something special this offseason and it works. But yes, I agree with that. All right. That's NBA. What do we have tonight in the NBA, by the way? We get the
is game 7 tonight?
Rockets. Yeah, the Rockets and the Warriors. Game 6.
Game 6.
We'll see what Fred can do. The game 7 that you referenced there, Clippers Nuggets, that'll be on Saturday. But we'll kind of keep an eye on Fred tonight and see if he can take that to a game 7. They are 5.5-point dogs to Golden State. There was a little drama there, right? Wasn't there some whining that they were being mean to Steph Curry, who had like a hurt hand or something?
There's always something.
There's always something. Always I think something. That's right. I'm just going to tell you right now, if there was a shred of weakness or a shred of any of that, anywhere that you could see Fred VanVleet coming at it, like, you know what I mean? Like if you're limping, he's going to take advantage of that. So I don't know how hurt Steph is or not. I'd seen that just like as an aside. But Fred VanVleet is a great story. So, he'll play tonight against these Warriors. I think the Rockets' chances are slim, but you know, back against the wall. We'll see if Brett can do something special. We're almost to this next round. This next round of the NBA playoffs, can't wait for it. But I hope Houston can stretch that series out.
Hey, by the way, our poll, the no's have it right now, 55% to 45%.
Who did you text?
I didn't send it to anybody. But I would like to make it clear, as of right now, the no's are winning.
All right. Look, I am about to revolt and go like full Hawaiian every day on all of you, because I just don't appreciate anybody telling me what I can wear, when I can wear it. I don't.
I mean, look, like, you can wear whatever you want. It doesn't mean that people have to support it. I certainly don't. But you are well within your right to wear whatever the heck you want.
I'll
make fun of you while you do it. So, I mean,
look, and I'd appreciate some support out there, or some criticism. Either way, as long as it's funny, we're in good shape, as it has been so far. Thanks, everybody, for participating in this little sidebar.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Fridays, me and a visit with Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider from the KC Star. You can follow Jalen on X at Jalen Thompson. Jalen, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jacob. How are you doing?
Good. A couple weeks ago, Jalen, things were looking a little dire. Now it's 9 out of the last 10. The Royals are feeling good. They're winning some road games. They'll go into Baltimore and hope Baltimore doesn't pick this weekend as the time to get it figured out. But look, as worried as we were, you called it a 3 out of 10 at kind of the peak bottom of the April run. This is why they're still not consistently scoring any runs. No offense to yesterday, but they haven't needed to because the pitching has just been so dang good.
Exactly right. When you get a pitcher and Noah Cameron, St. Joseph native, by the way, makes his MLB debut and nearly throws a no-hitter. That just goes to show you that the type of development that they have within their organization and their depth, that pitching rules the roost around Kansas City. And I think as long as the hitting comes along and the pitching stays consistent, this Royals team can make some noise.
It's going to make some noise. We were joking about this. Like, their odds to win the World Series, Jalen, have gone down, actually, from where they were at the beginning of the season. I can't figure that out. So as I observe, you've got this team here. Their pitching has gotten better than it was a year ago, which is really impressive to think about considering they traded away Brady Singer. But because the bullpen has gotten so much stronger, and now you haven't lost a thing in the rotation. Like, if that's your baseline, the offense needs to be there, but even if it's not, it's a good team. And then you look at the slow starts. I don't know. I don't get that. I think people should be more optimistic right now about the Royals than they were to start the season, if you knew the pitching was going to be like this.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too is, when you look at odds, people, it's not football where you have 17 games and your odds can pretty much be consistent after game 10. In the same vein, this is baseball, and you have 6 months, so you can look totally different month to month, and that's what the Royals did in really week to week. They looked terrible for 1 week when they went 2-8, and now they look really good when they 9-10. So they're going to have ups and downs. We all know this. I think that when you have to look at the whole landscape like we just talked about, the Royals can pitch, and if you can pitch, that's key because you're limiting teams from scoring. If the Royals can continue to just get production from Michael Garcia, which they've done all year so far, you've seen Bobby Wood Jr., he's done it all year. Vinny Pasquantino's coming around. Salvador Perez is coming around. As long as they can just get 4 or 5 of those guys to be consistent with the pitching, the Royals can win a lot of games.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Look, their offense, I don't know if it's going to be enough. I think it'll be more than it has been, because I think Vinny will hit more than he has, and Salvi's already heating up. So I think there will be some improvement. But even if there's not enough improvement there, going to find an outfield bat at the deadline, it's like one of the most attainable things you can do. And so you have that piece. Like, it will be very easy for them if they need to go add just a little bit of offense. They're not going to make some headline, I don't think. And the other part of it is when you see a guy like Noah Cameron do what he did, when you know Alec Marsh is coming back, it's not just that their pitching's really good, their pitching's really deep. And so they can withstand some of the things that might derail teams. Because if any of their starters, God forbid, miss significant time, they do have some decent options, probably more than most teams have. You can kind of look at it as, you know, a 7-deep rotation. Maybe it's even 8 with Daniel Lynch, who knows. But that also, to me, builds a little cushion for them.
Exactly. And you can't forget about Kyle Wright, who's going to start a rehab assignment, too, in AA. So you have all these different arms that you could use in case of injury or things like what happened with Cole Reagans, where he missed the start to deal with his left groin. I think that for the Royals, you're right. Getting an outfielder will be probably a key objective for them going down the stretch, because you got to have production from those outfield spots. I like what Drew Waters is doing, but can he be consistent? He hasn't shown it at the MLB level really his entire career. This is like his first season doing that. So I think they have to get someone that can fill in one of those outfield spots. MJ Melendez is in AAA. Hunter Renfroe is playing better of late, but he's still not what you want from him. And you know you're going to get defense from Kyle Isbell, but the offense, you're not really counting on that. So you have to have someone to fill in those gaps if this team wants to go where they want to go, and that's to win the American League Central Division.
One of the keys will be Salvador Perez. What's the latest on him? Had to leave the game yesterday. I think it was probably after legging out that double. But what do we know? How serious is this?
Yeah, left hip soreness. When he was rounding first base trying to get to the double, you know, he slid in and he kind of felt discomfort while he was rounding first base. The Royals say he's going to get more treatment. He's going to get evaluated again today before the game in Baltimore. And he actually joked with Matt Quatrero. He said, "Don't put the lineup out yet. Let me see how I feel." So, you know, Salvi's going to try to play. He always wants to play. So we'll see if they be cautious with him or anything like that. But it sounds like it's pretty minor this stage.
I mean, is it something as simple as like just DH him for this series?
Yeah, probably more than likely. He might get DH today for Friday and then see how he feels Saturday and Sunday. But I don't think it's too major. Like Salvi said himself after the game, he just said he felt better. So, I mean, you know, he's 34 going on 35. You know, these things happen, you know. So left hip soreness is the best case scenario for him at this point.
And maybe even minor enough that he doesn't miss any time then.
Yeah,
he's
just
right back in the lineup.
Exactly. He's probably going to play today if he has his way.
All right. While we're on the injury front, how's Cole Reagans coming and how's Hunter Harvey coming?
Yeah, I think it's a good sign for Cole Reagans that the Royals decided to – they sent Noah Cameron back down and they brought up Taylor Clark. So I think that's a good sign for Cole Reagans that he's probably going to be okay or is getting better and, you know, getting to a point where he can probably pitch again. All accounts, the Royals have said that he looked good pitching off the mound and, you know, in bullpen sessions. So I think it's just going to be how he can manage that injury dealing with the groin. And Hunter Harvey, they said he's, by all accounts, doing better as well, progressing. Hopefully they can get him on a rehab assignment if that's needed in the upcoming days. But they're looking forward to getting him back as well.
And then other a little house cleaning here. What is the latest with Cags? Jack Caglione, is he acclimating to the outfield? How's he been hitting? Like what is he doing down in AA right now?
He's still ripping it. He's still producing at a top level in AA with the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. You're right. He got in the outfield. He's playing that position. And it's not foreign to him. He's played the outfield a bunch in high school and growing up. So it's not like he won't be a fish out of water playing in the outfield. But I think it's an important step for him to play in the outfield, because if you're looking at his progression and where a lot of Royals fans want him to be and what the Royals organization wants him to be, adding the ability to play the outfield is a key step, because we know the bat is going to travel. We know that he's going to be someone that the Royals are going to count on for years to come. I think it's just a matter of, allowing him to continue to see pitching, continue to see guys that he might have seen one time, see him again, make those adjustments and get those at bats, because what you want to do is you want him to be ready when it's time to call him up and he doesn't have to go back down again. So him playing the outfield, him getting those at bats in double A, I think that's all going to be key, because once Jack Campione lands at Kauffman Stadium, it's going to change and shift the culture of the Royals franchise for a long time.
What do you think is more likely? We see Jack Caglione up at the big league level, or they've added a bat from outside the organization? Which happens first is more likely?
I think you'll probably see them add a bat first at some point in when it's time near the trade deadline or things of that nature, because you don't want to put a lot of pressure on the kid to come up and then have to, you know, really shine and be the stabilizing force as a run producer. But I do think that if Jack Caglione keeps playing the way he's playing, you will see him at some point this year, whether that's in August or September, just to get his feet wet at the big league level. And I really think that if that happens, you'll definitely see him in 2026, where, you know, he's going to be up and being a key part of the lineup. So it just depends on what the Royals want to do and how well he continues to adapt. I mean, where they at when we get to June and July? Do they need an extra bump in the lineup? Those are things that J.J. Piccolo and the front office is going to have to discuss, because if you have a talent like that sitting in double A or in your system, you have to be judicious about when you want to bring him up. Because once you bring him up, you don't want to send them back down.
Yeah. I mean, is there a world where he doesn't come up to the big league level this year?
You know, that's a good question. And I'm sure that's also probably on table. But the way he's been hitting and the way he's been adjusting, I personally think it's going to go. He continues to play in double A. And then when we get to July, we'll see where he's at. Now, he could get promoted to AAA. We've seen the Royals already do that with Peyton Wilson. He got promoted to AAA after he was crushing it in AA. So it could be one of those things where he continues to crush it and then he goes and tries AAA for a bit. And then maybe that's where he gets more and more and more reps in the outfield. And then from there, if he can hit there, he might get called up. I think we will see him this year. I just think it's too much of significance of what he's doing in double A to be ignored. I think you have to see what that looks like at the big league level.
It's got to be plate discipline. I mean, that's the thing. And the other thing, don't you think, like, if the offense starts to produce, like, there's less pressure, that's, you know, that he can work that plate discipline down there. And one of the big things, we know Salvi's heating up. Bobby Witt Jr. has been great. Michael Garcia has been great. Vinny Pasquantino has been the slowest going. You tell me what you've seen. I think he's been hitting the ball harder, and there's been a little bit of bad luck, mm-hmm. and that he's probably looking like he's about to round into form.
Yes, I think he's about to round into form for sure. We talked to him, and he has said that he was encouraged by some of his swings that he had against the Rays in Tampa. He leads the team in RBI, so that's really crazy to think about the guy that, you know, isn't hitting the best average-wise. He still leads the team with RBIs. It seems like he was just a tick or two late with his swing. And, you know, that caused the strikeouts. That caused him to foul some pitches off that he normally would get. But when you look at what he did with a couple of the home runs and how he's swinging the bat lately, I think as he's rounding into form, I think he's going to have a better May than he had in April. And the Royals definitely need that for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jalen, we appreciate it. We'll follow your work at the KC Star each and every day on the Royals. Follow Jalen on X at Jalen Thompson. A lot of good stuff there today and a good vibe for the Royals. We'll see if they can carry it into the weekend.
All right. Thank you, Jacob.
There goes Jalen Thompson. Appreciate Jalen for being here with us. That'll do it for Sports Daily. Tommy and I get to play a little golf here in a little bit. Maybe I'll show up in a flannel, some sandals and socks. I'll just, you know, my goal in life now is to embarrass Tommy as much as I embarrass my wife, because apparently he cares that much about what I wear.
Look, I don't think we're going to have an answer on this dilemma. We're back to 50-50 on our poll. So people are just as split as you and I are on this.
Yeah, that's we'll solve some things. We'll be back Monday to talk about all of it. Thanks to Max. Thanks to Jalen Thompson. For Tommy, I'm Jacob. See you Monday.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.